now that triggers item 7D. Supervisor Ogren. You want to hear public comment first?
Yes, okay, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I forgot that we got stuff here. We're going in-house first if there's anyone online. This is on item 7D. Louise Pliato.
Louise Pliato, Wairega. I'm trying to collect my thoughts because there's lots of thoughts going on right now and lots of ideas I have. My first question is, has anyone from Behavioral Health or the Board of Supervisors, and I know you can't answer, but this is something for you to think about, have any of you heard of Dr. Marbut, M-A-R-B-U-T? He came to Wairega several years ago, and that was the first time I heard about him. He was at a city council meeting. The city council meeting was packed. It was standing room only. I stood for the entire time. It was a very, very long time. And he left his thoughts with the city. You can go online and get it. And he is a renowned expert on homelessness and a senior fellow of Discovery Institute Center on Wealth and Poverty. He has a PhD in political behavior and American political institutions, and his career has been marked by bipartisanship, having served as chief of staff for San Antonio Mayor Henry Siskinos in 1980. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because he has a seven-point plan, or what he says, because what we're doing for homelessness is not working. I mean, it seems like it's getting bigger, and it's not just Wairega, it's all over the country. And as the one woman said, that more people are coming, we're going to have more homelessness. To talk about the reasons of it would take days, and I'm not an expert. There's a lot of experts, but what I found interesting about what he said is he had a seven-point plan, and one of the things he says is that you should move from entitlement to engagement. And what there's two things that we're doing here in our community that we could do right now is the what's happening is what we call street feeding. And he told Wairega at that time, stop that. Now, I know that there's lots of churches here, and everybody has a good heart, and we all want to take care of each other. I find Wairega folks, especially Sister County, to be very, very kind people, very giving people. And so by doing that, you're enabling and often do little to engage homelessness, to engage homeless individuals, getting them engaged. The other thing is panhandling. And all of us who go to Walmart or Rayleigh see them all the time. And that was another thing he said to stop. That doing that does not, actually his words were, unearned tax-free cash is very enabling and does not engage homelessness individuals in jobs, skills, and training which are needed to end homelessness. So I really feel like the showers that I've heard people talking about, and in terms of when I read their report on it, I couldn't tell how many people they really service. The report was not very easy to understand. At one point, it sounded like it was 184, but they said repeat services. So I'm just wondering, per service or per individual, am I up already? Wow. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I will end there.
Paul Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm Paul Johnson. I work here in the community. I worked for the county for some time, and now I work for NBCSS. I just wanted to say that the showers have been a huge help for us doing the work that we're trying to do, which is trying to reintegrate people into society and give them a chance to contribute back to the community. I was a case manager previously, now I'm a supervisor. I can tell you that having access to things like the shower, and then like they said, having all those services there available in one central place has given these people an opportunity to reach out to services that they wouldn't have gotten. People have gotten jobs, people have gotten connected with Nation's Finest and been able to get more resources and get off their feet, get housing, things like that. Offering that is, in my opinion, not something that we're just giving away because we are encouraging them to engage in those services. I think that if we continue to do that and we continue to do it in an organized way like that, we're going to see a lot more successes. you know, as a case manager, that's one of the hardest things. Like they said, some people, you know, it's hard to keep a phone when you're out there. It's hard to keep a phone charged. I can't get a hold of some of the people that I am taking through this process. And as you know, it takes all of 2 days to miss out on that housing opportunity or that job opportunity or to get that service that they need to get them over the hill. I work with a number of people that are on Social Security disability. There's no way they're ever going to work again. They have a very fixed income. But getting over that gap of being able to put down a security deposit, do things like that, sometimes that comes down to being in the right place at the right time. And just the ability to be clean, the ability to have fresh clothes and all that, sometimes is the difference between them getting past that job interview or, you know, a landlord even wanting to consider them as a tenant. So those are just the important things that I wanted to bring up here. I like to keep things brief. I just wanted to point all of that out. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Billingsley. Good morning.
My name is Patricia Billingsley. I'm just here today. I come from the Hill, and I'm currently not there anymore. And thanks to the shower, to behavioral health, and to Six Stones, I've been able to get myself on my feet and be part of the community again. And I really think that the showers are very important. They help a lot of us. They help us get on our feet. Thank you.
Thank you. Edie Everidge. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. My name is Edie Everidge. I work over at NBCSS at Base Camp with a great group of people, and I've been lucky enough to go down on the Greenway and get the people for the showers and take them over there to charge their phones, you know, because like Jeff said, I mean, they lose their phones, their clothes. I mean, they'll even come back. They'll just be gone. So just the fact that to have a shower would be great. So I support that.
Thank you. Tara Collins. Good morning.
Good morning. Hopefully I have a voice. sorry, it's been a long week since I saw you guys last. One of the things that I shared...
Your name first.
Oh, Tara Kill Collins. One of the things that I shared at the city council meeting last week was that we had our staff go out and survey 83 people that were living in the Greenway and on the Hill. The ages ranged, I believe it was from 20 years old to an 83-year-old that's living on the Hill. We have a large population with diverse needs that are out there, and they all benefit from the showers and linking to the resources that are close by to them. I know that one of the arguments last time was, you know, it wasn't that people don't deserve to have a shower, that the public health isn't important, that it was about the cost. In our survey, we had 95% of the people that we surveyed said that they wanted to stay at the shelter, but the shelter only has 32 beds, and as you guys learned today, the village, which I call the village, Pallet Shelters, is only going to have 15. We already have a greater need for showers and safe services and linkage to services than what we're going to be able to provide. So I think it's important that we continue to have the shower trucks. The other point that I wanted to make is that none of us question how much money we spend on firefighters to get their shower trucks. I reached out to the county and I asked that question, and it turns out they actually specifically negotiated a deal with this company to get a cheaper cost than what we pay for our firefighters to use the same service. So I hope with that information, we can at least, you know, say we're not spending as much money as we could be. We're trying to be as reasonable. We're trying to be good grant stewards with this money. And just to extend it through January, I think would benefit this community greatly until we can get our other resources up and going. Thank you.
Thank you. J.B. Westfall. Good morning. Mark.
I'm J.B. Westfall, and I work with Tara and the rest of our staff here at Base Camp. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background on me, I grew up here in Siskiyou County. I went to Weed High School, went to COS. My grandma taught at Weed High School for 35 years. And Siskiyou County is a big part of who I am as a person. I worked across all different industries here in Siskiyou County, in real estate, within social work here. And I really care about all the cities here in Siskiyou County. And working with NBCSS, I've gotten to see some of the more, let's say, depressing side of individuals here, people that are broken individuals that need help. And part of helping those individuals is getting them back on their feet, giving them the opportunity to get a job or to find housing. And I don't know how somebody is able to do any of those things if they're not clean. That's a basic human right that we all deserve. I think every single one of us woke up this morning, we all took a shower this morning, right? I can tell that, you know, every single one of you guys did your hair this morning. And you guys are clean, and you guys feel good, and you feel good about yourselves, and you're able to come to this meeting and run this meeting and do that with charisma. And I don't know how individuals that are homeless are able to get on their feet, to get in front of that job interview, to stop abusing drugs and all of those things. So I would just say that I'm in support of the shower trucks and that we need to do better. One thing that kind of struck me is that, you know, we started this meeting today with a prayer, right? And I don't know what your guys' religious beliefs are and everything, but I would take it that the God that we were praying to would be the Christian God, right? And Jesus, who's the son of that Christian God, used to wash and kiss the feet of broken people. And if we're unable to do that, then that's disrespectful to us even opening this meeting with a prayer. Thank you.
Reba Melfa, I think it is. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. My name is Reba Melfa. I work for NBCSS. I am peer support at Wairika Base Camp. I am here in support of the shower trucks. I recognize that it offers a service that is essential, and like many of the people who have spoken here before me, in getting people out of their situation and able to move onward into more stable situations. Being able to have clean clothing and a clean body is an essential part of being a member of our community, a recognized member of our community. The people experiencing homelessness in this community often go unseen, unlooked at, or looked at with disgust, and it further drives people downward and away from integrating into the community in a way that is beneficial for them and everyone else. I'd like to remind everyone that we are one or two, all of us personally, are one or two unfortunate events away from being homeless. If you didn't have family to catch you, and you were met with financial hardship, or if you didn't have friends to support you, you could easily end up being homeless yourself. And in order to get out of that situation, you need to be able to take care of yourself, get access to resources, and get back out there in the world. So I'm strongly in support of this, and I hope that all of you are too.
Thank you. Sheila Meamber.
Well, $250,000 extending through January 31st, 2025. Pretty expensive laundry and shower services. So I would be interested in seeing a better breakdown of the costs associated with serving apparently 182 people, which was documentation that was attached to the agenda item. To me, there was no detailed accounting, and it would have been nice to have a better breakdown as to what the costs and cost benefits would have been. As with all grants, there are strings attached. I don't know what the contract, I didn't read it, What kind of provisions it would provide in case you needed to cancel or back out your contract? Since the governor has now issued an executive order to remove homeless encampments and threatens to withhold funding from cities and counties if they don't comply. It is a sad commentary on a governor who could not account for millions plus dollars that were awarded to address the homeless situation, and the programs statewide were lost and could not be accounted for. They're just gone. So how did we get here? The state, county, and cities all have to bear the responsibility for the influx of the homeless situation here. The dollars and all the freebies that have been thrown at this segment of our society without taking responsibility for the consequences that follow. Granted, there are those who are mentally challenged, but there are others who like and want to live this lifestyle. Then there are our veterans who have been ignored to a great degree. I want to cite an example I heard, it's been a couple of years ago, and this was in Southern California, Venice Beach. There were homeless encampments along the beach. They were interviewed by news people and asked them about would they like to move to a housing project, give up their living on the beach in a tent. The common theme was no, they liked it. And they waited for their monthly checks to come in so that they'll collect their $600 or $1,000 a month. And since that time, the situation has just gotten worse. And in my opinion, as a whole, not only statewide, countywide, citywide, but nationwide, we have enabled the homelessness to expand without addressing the real issues. Siskiyou County rolled out the welcome app, free needle exchanges, I remember that, free housing, free meals, free handouts, free this, free that. So, and everybody jumped on board, this county, the cities. So what will we need to expect? Now San Francisco is proposing giving $100 a day to addicts to encourage them not to do drugs. Is this insane or what? As there are more people living in the state of California, more homeless are moving in, and other people are moving out. And I've heard those in the city and county lament, where are the homeless population going to go if we kick them off public land?
I'll need you to wrap up.
Okay. That same way, my feeling is the same way that they got here, particularly those that have come from out of state and out of the region. Give them a voucher for a bus ride out of town, send them back to where they came from. The many homeless in Siskiyou County are those who have come from other states and now possibly other countries due to the border immigration crisis. And as a taxpayer, I resent having to support and fund these programs. And I'm tired of hearing how these grants are free and don't cost the taxpayer anything. They are not free. These programs are being paid for us, the taxpayers.
I'll need you to wrap up, please.
Thank you.
Online?
Battery 100%. Michael Parno, it's your turn to speak.
Michael Parno, still the mayor of Denver. I've already spoken on this issue a couple times. I just urge you to support the program and keep money that goes out of, or keep the tax money that goes out of Siskiyou County coming back into it, so that way we can use it locally. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick?
Collier, it's your turn to speak.
Thank you. Collier Asri, Nation's Finest. I have already spoken on this in the previous issue or previous agenda item, so I won't repeat all that. But I did want to point out that one of the things I really liked seeing this event when it was going on was it you guys kind of became like this example for other counties. I know I saw in Shasta County this, so there was this like light, like, oh wow, we can We can replicate what's really working up there right now to address the existing issue, and we can do that here. And I can tell you in our COC in Shasta County, there's a huge supporting effort to do this. And we've looked at your program and said, there is a model that is working. And the other thing I would say is there's been a number of people today that have talked about, you know, well, does this really address the root causes of homelessness? Well, maybe the shower and the laundry itself doesn't, but it does connect them to agencies and resources that are designed to address those root causes. Certainly, there are going to be a percentage of people who are just comfortable with that life, but as someone who's formerly homeless, who spent a lot of time now working in that community, I can tell you the vast majority of people who are homeless certainly don't want to stay there and don't want to stay in that situation and would relish in the chance to have permanent housing and a job. But one of the first barriers that comes across for both of those housing and jobs is whether someone has clean clothes and whether they smell when they walk in the door. And I don't know anyone who's willing to hire someone who smells like they've been dumpster diving. So I would just really hope that this, that your guys' board would seriously reconsider this and vote to support this. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Anyone else in-house? Seeing none. Supervisor Cochran.
Well, there we are. Again. I'd like to let Madeline and Dr. Gillard speak before we jump into this. I'm just grateful that we've been given a second chance on this. I think it needs to be heard. So, ladies.
Madeline Bryan, Housing Coordinator for Health and Human Services. Thank you, Chair and Board, for the opportunity to reconsider this item. First, I would just like to let the board know that it was always the department's intention for this to be a temporary service to help people to start working on their documentation and their barriers to maintain their health and hygiene while we work on longer-term, even more efficient solutions. And that's part of why it's always been a temporary, shorter-term contract. Services are expensive, and we did reach out to we did try to do a competitive bid process and didn't receive any, and we reached out to other shower and laundry providers to try to secure the best price we could. One quote that we received was for $500,000 approximately for 1 year. Another we received was for $14,000 per day with a minimum of 5 consecutive days requirement. So this shower truck by far gave us the best price, and they were willing to work on any timeline that we were, because we felt strongly that our department couldn't handle more than a few times a month. And in the past, we've struggled to secure showers for our clients through other means because of their challenges with presentation. And we have always intended to reevaluate this program if at any time participation takes a drop due to removing encampments or to better services being available through shelters and housing, we can and will cancel the contract in that scenario. And that being said, because of the difficulties of communicating with people whose phones die because they don't have somewhere to charge it, or their phone is stolen, this event provided a consistency for people to be able to come and find us. And that has been invaluable, and through that connection, we have moved people into housing. We have helped some people to get jobs. What's not reflected in the report is that some people told us it was important for them to use the shower trucks to maintain the jobs they already had. There are many more benefits, though, besides helping people secure employment, because some individuals had to address mental health or substance use disorders as well. And I don't know if I should elaborate on the outcomes in the staff report. So we have, over the course of those that six-month contract, we serve 182 individuals. And many of these individuals are ones that we have seen many times in the community. A number of them would be willing to engage in services, but we didn't have a program that they were eligible for because of how the state funds our programs. Others didn't want to talk to us before we had the shower trucks, didn't want to engage in mental health treatment. And so having that shower, I think one of the participants said it well, was a really wonderful carrot to get people to trust us and listen to us, because you can imagine going up onto the hill and telling someone, hey, you know, I'm a stranger and I think you need rehab. Obviously, they're not going to listen to that. Who among us listens to a stranger in that way? So having that consistency, it really increased the trust and increased the participation from our first event to our later event. We saw a 66% increase in the latter half of the program. We typically had over 50 people attending, close to 60 at times. And as Dr. Clark said, we've moved 8 people into housing. We've connected them with resources that we don't even have to administer, which has been a huge benefit to the county, because we're able to get them resources and we don't even have to manage that resource. For example, Nation's Finest was really successful in doing outreach to veterans. The key benefit of this program was that we had established a place where people would be. So Nation's Finest, they don't have an office in Suscy County, but they didn't need that because they could come to the shower trucks, and that's where veterans would come to talk to Nation's Finest. They were able to connect with 11 homeless veterans in Suscy County, and we were assisting those veterans to apply for their housing programs that they have for veterans. And unfortunately, as the shower trucks ended, I have not been able to track all of these veterans without that service, but at the time the program ended, we had successfully qualified one of those veterans for Nation's Finest housing program. Our homeless outreach worker was at every event. He assisted people with, he had job lists on hand, he had the ability to make appointments for them with mental health, substance use services, and I can't, you know, follow up with every individual at this point, especially about having the shower trucks, but as of when they ended, he had personally walked 10 participants himself to behavioral health, 8 of them for mental health services and 2 for substance use disorder programs. There are another 7 that he set up the appointments for and gave them directions to access, and he has witnessed 2 of them following up on that. That isn't to say the other 7 haven't, but that's just what he personally witnessed and part of what I can attest to. At least 2 of the participants showed up at our laundry truck event and used the shower and told us they were preparing for a job interview, and we followed up and they secured those positions. And another participant was hired by our shower and laundry contractor, and that person was helping to give back to the community that they were also a part of and trying to develop skills to learn how to participate in this service as a job for responding to fires, for example. And as I said, others didn't. I can't claim that they got a job from the shower trucks, but they said it was helpful in maintaining their positions to be able to come shower. You know, when we help people apply for housing or any programs, it's a very long process because they typically have no documentation. So even while we are identifying housing or working on opening programs, there's no need for them to wait to get that documentation started, because that's just going to delay things even more. So what we were doing was we were asking people, do you have your ID? Do you have your birth certificate? And we helped them to apply for those. And then they would show up back at the shower truck event to get an update or to pick up their documentation that we'd help them to secure, which is essential for applying for anything. Another example of resources we connected them to outside of the county. Although this is not exhaustive, as you look in my staff report, we had a lot of participation from other entities. Vinca Care provides remote case management services, and they're able to serve a broader population than behavioral health is, and the extent to which they provide case management services also could alleviate the work that the county is doing for case management. And they were able to provide phones for individuals who did not have a phone, which, you know, it's very hard for these people to follow up on their appointments if they don't have a phone, you know, to make the appointment, to receive the calls, to know what time of day it is and what day it is. And that, you know, that service is something that we could expand, and we could help them to stay connected to those individuals if we continue to have the shower trucks. Lastly, I want to point out that we filled out 110 applications for what is called the Homeless Management Information System. But essentially, this is the starting point that anyone needs to fill out to get housing services, any permanent housing services that we can assist with. Now, there are individuals who came to the shower truck and secured their own housing, so it's not that it was exclusively through our housing, but we were able to do that many intakes and get people into the system where they would have the opportunity to be selected for housing programs.
Thank you. I have a question.
It's yours.
It's mine. So just for clarification, this contract, if it's approved, can be ended at any time, correct? We can cancel
it. That is my understanding, and I would also look to County Council if they have any comments on that. We use the standard county contract.
I see on page 12, item 7.03, termination for convenience of the county. That's what I'm reading. So we have that option.
Yes, okay. And Supervisor O'Brien, the contract is a total not to exceed amount. So I'd just like to let the board know we were under budget in our last contract, and I have every expectation that we wouldn't fully utilize this budget as well, because we have funding in there on the chance of a public health emergency. For example, the reason we originally started this program was responding to a lice outbreak in encampments. So if there were to be a disease outbreak in which pairing the treatment with a shower would be essential, then we'd have the opportunity to add that extra vent for public health purposes. Or if a piece of equipment were to break down and we had to ask the company to bring a generator, we'd have the ability to pay for that extra cost. But I do not expect that we will use the full amount. That is a total not to exceed.
If the contract were to be awarded, approved, how soon would the trailers be available to be put in place, scheduled?
I imagine they would need a minimum of 1 week's notice with it being fire season. But I don't, the contractor isn't here for to make further comments on that, but they were able to await that kind of advance notice from me in the past.
So you're not thinking it would be a month?
No, because we already have the infrastructure in place. We have our program forms already in place. We have our relationship in place with the contractor. We know the site well. We know how to run this program already. The pieces. Yeah, and the program has received a lot of support from the city of Yreka as well. I know you've heard in the past from council member Paul McCoy, and also council member Dwayne Kaye is on the homeless advisory board and has championed this program on that board as well. So we've only ever received indication of support from the city on this project. They allow us to use the location and their utilities.
Is there any chance of securing a location in South County where that could be utilized?
Yeah, so we have discussed this. And It would be a possibility. We have asked the contractor if they would be willing to serve other areas of the county, and the answer is yes. They support that. They're willing to work with us on that. It would be a question of identifying an appropriate location. You know, we were very fortunate to get the location we did in Marika. It helped to make the program successful in many ways, the proximity to encampments, to some of the services, and obviously the city support. So I don't know if the city of Mount Shasta, it sounds like one of the council members this morning was interested. We could explore sites with them and see if they would be willing to partner with us in a similar way, if the board gave us that direction. I don't think I could get that up in a week, though, just to clarify.
We'll
if it were to be in another location.
But not the first week, for sure. But if we could alternate or do a few weeks here and then set it up so that the word got out that it was going to be in a different location, I'm just thinking if we could satisfy, you know, other locations, that might be.
Yes, and we could also do a test run. We could pilot it for one or two months there and see what the outcome was.
Right. Just trying to think of some of the other concerns from the public. I think I'm good. Anything else that we've talked about that we need to bring up? No, I'm good.
Madeline covered it.
At nauseam, no doubt.
I was just going to comment that the board received emails that were forwarded from the clerk or that were given to the clerk and I gave to the entire board regarding this issue. Do you want me to give the names of those people who emailed?
Sure.
Because we had made copies last week, but we didn't discuss it. So I had emails from Jan Osborne, Wairika, Ruth Simpson, and Steve Radford, Sheila Meamber, and more than one from Stephen Radford.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Oh, thank you. One point. I did like that brought in Smith. The animals up there, taking care of them as a free service provided to people in the public, so it's good to have that connection so we don't have those problems that come about.
Yes, SNP provided pet vaccines and spay and neuter services at two events,
I believe. How many events have been held up to the point in the community? How many events have been held up so far?
One moment. 13
events. 13 events that take nearly every other week or flexibility?
Yes, generally every other week, twice a month.
Twice a month, okay. So when this first came up, I took a risk voting for it. It's just a risk you can take when we sit up here. You don't know if it's going to fail or succeed, what's going to happen, what you're going to get hit with. She's a nice lady. I didn't have a woman jump on me on. She's actually a nice lady, but I didn't have any stats to back anything up with them. So I just had to take it and listen and say this is what we're working towards. So 13 visits. In 13 visits, looking at the reports you guys have given, I realize this is a tough audience to get exact numbers on, our clientele, but four are off the street, four are in plans to be off the street through the services. One veteran is off the street, that's correct?
I don't know if the veteran has accepted that housing and followed through with Nation's Finest. That would be Nation's Finest, because we got the news after the shower truck ended, so I haven't seen that veteran again. It might be because that veteran has moved to housing.
Housing is in Shasta County, I believe.
The housing is in Humboldt, actually,
County.
Yeah. Yeah, the housing that individual qualified for was in Humboldt. After they leave the shower trucks, information sharing is tricky. There's a lot of laws governing information sharing, so Nation's Finest would need to have a release of information, most likely, to share with us further outcomes past that point. what we know, we often know because the individual was able to tell us, or we were able to help that person fill out the paperwork for the other entity.
I remember when the veteran service officer came in here, he said the homeless veterans are the toughest clients that he has.
And we don't have, as you know, housing specifically for veterans in the county, so Nation's Finest helps them connect with housing, veterans housing in other communities.
As a follow-up, if they can't share that information, be interested in knowing not the names of the people, but exactly who and where and those sorts of things. The outcome of it, not the name of a private confidential housing staff. Attend mental health, three jobs, suddenly able to maintain jobs. So now we have stats here to show the effectiveness of this. I think with this group, within this group, are the ones that want to be helped. Are the ones that are going to seek that help. The ones that are going to find a way to get off the street or find that path towards it. The expensive aspect of it, I do think it's expensive. Would like to see those costs come down in the future, but we don't have complete control of this. I just heard from you, there's been some bids and stuff, and one was $500,000. One was quite a bit more, so you guys took the lowest bid. But I want to emphasize that within this group are the groups of people that want to get off the street, the ones that are trying to make it work and you connect them with those services. Whether it be the veterans, whether it be some of those that are in house now, whether it be those that apply for jobs. If the laundry service had offered jobs to everybody and no one had taken the job, that would be a concern of mine. That would be enabling. But when you see it where it's empowering people, it's a little different. Come on.
Hi, nothing. Just on the cost side of it, you know, I get that it's wildly expensive because it basically we're in a reactive mode. I've always been about the answer prevention, 2 to 5 years down the line. Dr. Carr, we've had this. And doing nothing is not the answer, so I'm going to move forward. Thank you.
Supervisor Howell? I had a couple questions. Regarding the billing, I was trying to sort out how the billing works. I see it's billed once a month. Is that per shower? Is it per event? What?
Yes, it's per event.
Per event. Okay. So much for my next question. that's pretty darn expensive, you know. And I hear all the benefits of a shower and everything else, but every other week, come on. That's not very frequent for somebody that's trying to nail down a job. I wouldn't work next to somebody that hadn't had a shower 2 weeks. I mean, if we were really serious about that, wouldn't it be available at least once a week?
You know, I think that just in my experience talking to people, they obviously have to find their own ways of doing some minor bathing in the interim. With a bucket and a sponge, if that's what it is, or finding someone who will lend them a hose. I think it's all partly just a question of the alternative, because the people who first showed up at the event had months of grime on them that they hadn't been able to sufficiently wash off, and then seeing the difference of people who were showing up to us because it had been only 2 weeks since they showered. I personally witnessed that difference. Cleaner clothes and better hygiene and presentation. We also passed out hygiene kits to individuals and hydration kits, so different things that should also help them to stay healthy and be able to feel confident in their presentation when they seek services. Some individuals were able to They used the shower trucks to really build their confidence and sense of dignity, and then they sought services that maybe connected them to another way that they were able to shower. I think that even friends and family are more likely to let people into their home to do laundry and shower after they've already done it, ironically, than if they're really coming in with months worth of, you know, improper hygiene that they're trying to address.
A better way to ask this question. Who set the schedule? for the events?
Dr. Clark and myself.
And did you discuss whether the frequency was enough for? How did you?
Yeah, so it's partly a question of our capacity as well. And
cost. I mean, we have here from the board every time we're here a concern about cost. So we're trying to balance, right, services to the community with the cost of those services and trying to get the biggest bang for our buck.
Okay. Well, cost of other things, right? Frequency of other things, limited availability to the rest of the county is kind of sticking in my craw too. That's a good point.
So, with regard to the cost, I mean, we just talked about earlier on the pallet housing deal that there'll be a restroom and shower facility built. This is going upwards of $250,000 that could have purchased the equipment outright and had that available for that project. I'm hearing that we can terminate this whenever we desire, but at the same time, I'm not hearing that we're going to fill the gap with the shelter and the pallet housing and crossroads. So does that mean that once those are in place and this supposedly goes away, that we won't be looking at this again?
We won't be looking at this particular grant or this service with this grant again. This grant was really focused on outreach, which this is really at its core an outreach program, right, to connect people to services. So anticipating that we had these housing options coming online, we knew, we wanted to develop a program in part. There were other reasons as well that would give us an opportunity to help connect people and get them into housing. As someone said earlier, right, I think it was Tara, we've developed as many beds as we have the resources for. We are not going to meet the need. So there will still be people after these. I mean, each of those facilities will have showers. So the shelter, all of them have showers, and those are available to the unhoused community. But we're not going to, we're not going to meet the need of the total population when this program ends.
I think we're also in a situation where there's been a really significant paradigm shift in terms of how we address encampments, and that's something that we don't know, and it's important for us to continually reevaluate how that changes this program. On the one hand, having this population more dispersed, it could really be helpful to have a program where they know where to come and meet us, since we may not know where to go and find them if the encampments are limited and frequently removed. So that's a big change. Another one is we don't know how that dispersal will affect the shelter use. And so I think we really will need to evaluate in the next few months how the service is utilized, does it continue to have an impact, and
listening to the public today and last week, it seems like it's morphed into something different than what you originally intended from an outreach perspective. Now it's a perception that it's necessary for health and cleanliness, and it's a human need kind of a thing. And that's not what you just said. You said it was an outreach. And so, my point in bringing that up is, then if it does end, the need doesn't go away.
It's both. It's both health and outreach. And this grant is from the Department of Healthcare, specifically to help address housing as a social disparity that influences health. So it is both. I think the difference is that where our efforts go as a county, if we have better solutions available that can help people, ideally we could have it all always, but that's not a reality. We have to compromise. we have to decide where to put resources because there are not always going to be enough to do every program. So ideally, yes, if funding really was free, we could continue to have that available for anyone who wasn't in the shelter. But if in a situation in which we have to prioritize, the shelter can provide more stability and a shower, and ideally there would be a flow, right? We don't want people to, you know, the shelter is not permanent housing. They need to be working with staff to identify longer-term solutions and freeing up that bed for the next person to have that opportunity and that chance.
Done over there. I'm not going to argue about the services and the outreach. I get that. I'm saying with the money that we have available, and this is $9,100 a day.
It's, pardon me, it was originally, the cost has been reduced. We were able to reduce the price to $8,200 a day, and that's what it would be going forward.
So does that change this, what you're asking then as well?
No, it does not.
Okay. Irrespective, $8,200 a day. It looks like the service is providing four employees. What is our staff providing as well? Because I assume that those employees are supposed to be handling everything, the clients that are coming through, assisting, whether it's laundry or whether it's shower.
Yeah, in many situations, the staff do what they already do, but they do it at the shower trucks and are more successful at reaching people. For example, one of the main staff members who attends that event is our homeless outreach worker. Now, he uses that event to set things up to continue working with those individuals between events. So someone comes for a shower truck event, he fills out a form with them, and then the next week he goes and says, hey, that form was submitted, you've got an appointment, can I help you get to that appointment? So that's kind of a mechanism to keep it, help to keep the communication flowing, and he's one of the main staff members, but he is doing outreach at the shower truck events, which is his job outside the shower truck events as well. So we've tried to use the resources we already have to do what they're doing, but at the event.
Okay, well, it's just $250,000 for showers that, to me, we could have had something permanent or portable that we could have served the entire county and for different aspects, or even at, you know, the pallet housing, like I said. That's where I have difficulty. And you've got until January to burn through. Well, here, what happened? You said you had reserve. You didn't use it all in the first go. So why aren't you just pushing that through instead of requesting more funding altogether?
Pardon me, I don't quite understand.
You said earlier that you didn't use the entire budget for the first round, I'll call it, of this, and this is why the contract's being extended, because you're adding on. Why isn't any of that flowing through to offset this cost? So if your last one was $125,000,
it is. Yes,
it is. Where did the other 65 go?
That amount is now what's available to extend the contract. It's part of the funding that we now have for extending the contract. It didn't disappear.
Okay, but
the cost saving from the last contract is rolled into this one.
But this is for an additional 100 and whatever, depending on whatever the cost is.
Yes, as I said, it's a total not to exceed, and so
So where I'm going with that is, why wouldn't it be an extension of 60-some-odd thousand because you have banked X amount already?
Because it's our intention to run the program through January. We didn't have sufficient rollover to cover that period of time. And I think we shared with you last time, we want to go through January anticipating other resources will be online and the PIT count will happen in January. So we want to connect with people during that time. Right. But there wasn't sufficient rollover. We anticipate there will still be funding left over. That funding, in all likelihood, will go towards the pallet shelter. So we are focused on developing those more permanent solutions. It's just that the timing of this and sort of the focus of this grant wasn't wasn't for those kinds of projects. And we're very, you know, most of the money that we receive is very prescribed, and increasingly we are constrained, or the focus is on permanent solutions. But as you know, permanent solutions take us a very long time, and we have to, they're not cheap. We have to braid funding, so it takes us a while to.
I get that. Rather than terminate services, though, couldn't you have just extended that while we deliberate to continue the service with the savings?
Unfortunately not. The contract had an end date, so we didn't just increase the amount. We also extended the term of the contract. So that was the issue.
Did I not?
The contract ended.
The contract ended, so that's why we couldn't continue to... We had extra funding in the contract, but since the contract ended, it went past its term, we weren't able to continue using it to provide that service in the intermediary.
I understand that. Yeah. Couldn't you have negotiated an extension?
This is the extension.
So this addendum includes an extension beyond June.
When we first brought the contract extension to the board, that it would not have created a gap in the service. So we anticipated the contract extension being approved in time to continue the service. And then when the contract wasn't extended, we needed to wait, obviously, for the board's direction on that.
And I guess lastly, for the termination, if we terminate, the contractor shall be paid for a percentage of the phase of work actually completed. It doesn't look like it's per event. It looks like it could be different. And I don't know how that pans out overall, but I don't know that it's a hard we stop in September and then we only charge for two events.
So I think it would depend on what services had already been rendered. So, for example, maybe we cut their contract off mid-month and they've already done one event, but they haven't done the second one. They would still be able to bill us for the event they already provided in the first half of the month.
We're not retro on this either. If this is approved, it's not retro that for months that they didn't do anything.
No.
Okay. No.
It's per
event. If they don't show up, they don't get funding. Yeah.
Okay. Anything further from the board? Okay. What's the wish of the board?
I have a move to approve.
And a motion to approve. Second.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
No,
thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
I'm a no, and I just think we need to be looking at alternatives to be able to spend this money down in a way that makes it more permanent, because for the tens of billions of dollars the state of California has thrown at this, it has not cured anything. And if we're actually looking for the cure, it isn't just these ever-ending grant programs to continue on just keeping everything in place. So.
Thank you.
We'll take a 5-minute break. Wendy?
Yep, that would be cool.